Today on Real Life Radio.
Well, we have separate accounts, we have separate vacations, we have separate things, you have separate lives. Maybe the only thing united is that you have a tax deduction. What is this? You are to be under the skin of one another. Well, that's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, it's terrifying, it's wonderful, it's difficult, it's fantastic.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Are you looking for answers in a rapidly changing world? Are you ready to engage in some meaningful conversation about the issues that face our nation and face our faith? You can join Pastor Jack Hibbs and his special guest Charlie Kirk for the next Happening Now. That's coming up Wednesday, March 26th at 7 p.m. Pacific. Now, this dynamic event is held live at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and it's streamed online too, by the way, and that's on the Real Life Network. Pastor Jack and Charlie offer some timely discussion on current issues from a biblical perspective. You're going to be equipped, encouraged, and challenged to live out your faith in an ever-shifting culture. Call your friends, bring your questions, and get ready to discover what God's Word says about the issues that shape our world today. If you'd like more details, go to jackhibbs.com. You don't want to miss this opportunity to stay informed, inspired, and engaged. Join us for Happening Now and become a part of the conversation. One more time, get all the info you need at jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues with his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, and a message titled, When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 4. Now, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church, and he shares with us how the beauty of a Christian woman is second to none. You see, a woman of God actually has a divine attractiveness. Many Christian women today, however, are either insecure or intimidated by the world's standards of beauty. But what's hidden in a woman's heart and the loveliness of her gentle and quiet spirit is really what's precious to God. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that a Christian husband's prayer life is directly linked to his relationship with his wife. He's to love her, honor her, respect her, and use his position of authority in a kind and gentle way. Now with his message called, When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Do you know what you're supposed to do as an American? Do you know that? We've lost it. Our country's lost its mind. Did you know that no matter who the person is in any office of authority, according to civility and the English language and the foundations of our government, no matter who they are, you are supposed to show them respect for the sake of the office, which is longer, more enduring than the person in it. Do you get that? We're all supposed to do this. If an officer pulls you over and you know him because he's on the soccer team and he's a real ding-dong, you submit to him because he's an officer, not because he's one of the team members. Are you with me? This is human life. Sarah, the Bible is saying, she submitted to Abraham because of the office of God having created the place of the husband. It's a place of authority. Hey, don't leave the building yet. Hang on. It's a place of authority. It's a place of position. We should ask the question in a moment, how or why? The Bible says Sarah called Abraham Lord. Now, listen, we don't do that in our culture. I mean, Lisa does, but I know most of you don't. But I'm joking. But in that culture, it was a term of endearment and appreciation. Kindness. And, you know, Lisa's name is actually Elizabeth. And so we love England and all that stuff. So there's times when I'll say, you know, Queen Elizabeth. Or I'll say, would you like to have some tea, my lady? And we laugh, we joke about that, you know. But you know what I mean. So, but in that ancient world, it meant Abraham, my liege. My darling, my head, the provider, the one. Dr. Wiersbe again says it and puts it this way. In our world today, our culture is such that calling your husband Lord would be a bit odd. It has been God's design that since the beginning of time and throughout the ages, listen, every wife ought to be able to call her husband Lord. Did you hear that? You don't call your husband Lord, but he should be treating you in such a way that if you did, or you should be able to, because he's so good to you. And all the women said, amen. That was your moment, girls. You should have jumped on that one. He should be so good to you because you are such high value. And he recognized it, Christian husband or not, that you ought to be able to call him or say or think, I could call him Lord. I just had a couple right before first service basically tell me that out front with the revival that their marriage has had. The final thing is this, verse 7. This is remarkable. Hang on to your seats. It's God's desire for the two of you to love one another unto the end. And when we talk about the end, look what it entails. Verse 7, husbands, guys, listen up. 6 verses are dedicated to the woman. Why? Because the women had no rights in those days. The women had no hope. The women had no future. So 6 verses tell the woman all about her hope, all about her future, and all about her value. 1 verse to the man, and it's a big one. And I want you guys to watch the subtle shift. You may not pick up on it, so look at it really hard. Husbands, likewise. In other words, husbands, the women have been given this direction from the Lord. All right, guys, this is what God wants for you, is what Peter's saying. Number 1, 5 things you're going to hear about. Number 1, dwell with them. Dwell. The word dwell means this. Listen, it means, and some of you super spiritual people are not going to like this. It means to be in the same sack. It means to be, you know, you put the sack races where you put one foot in the other with your friend and you run down the hill or up the hill. You know that, whatever that game is called? Three-legged race. To be in the same sack. In other words, cooperation. To be at the same seat. To be in the same room together. Listen up. To be in or around one another. Listen to this. The word dwell means in Greek to be aware of the other's proximity to yourself. How many of you are married? Raise your hands. Okay, you are to know, according to this word, always where your husband and where your wife is, if it's in the bedroom or if it's in the world. Why? You're one flesh. You're one person before God. You're so tight before God that way. Let me show you on the screens what it is not. This is what it's not. Now, I flubbed it up. I had a photo of couples in nice restaurants. Have you not seen this? They go, they're gonna spend $300 at some high-end restaurant, you know, celebrating their anniversary, and you see them with the candles burning and the violinist playing, and they're on their phone. They're both on their phone. And then they wonder why their marriage is falling apart. And then they wonder why they don't know each other. The Bible, isn't the Bible amazing? 2,000 years ago, the Bible said, this is what a husband and a wife need to be like in marriage. He, she needs to know the proximity of where he or she is, body, soul, and spirit. But we take separate vacations. That's weird. You're opening yourself up to destruction. Well, we have separate accounts. We have separate vacations. We have separate things. You have separate lives. Maybe the only thing united is that you have a tax deduction. What is this? You are to be under the skin of one another. Well, that's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's terrifying. It's wonderful. It's difficult. It's fantastic. It's called love, people. And the young generation today thinks it's all about feelings and movies. It's about cleaning up the vomit of the one that you love when they're sick or have the flu. It's about sticking it through to the end, all the way to the end. And you look back over the years and you go, man, we made it over that. We made it through that. We made it through that thing. Remember that? Remember this sickness? Remember that disease? Remember that financial breakdown? Remember that blessing? Remember that trip? And you get older and you look back. And man, we were talking about time the other day. Lisa quoted somebody. It was awesome. It was one of those mic drop moments where she said, yeah, somebody said regarding time that the days are long, but the years are short. Don't you know that? I know that now. Where did it all go? Where did it happen? How did it happen? God wants to see you through all the way to the end, church.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And the Bible says to do that, it says, husbands likewise dwell with them with what? So dwell is number one. Number two is understanding. I believe this is impossible without God. The word understanding here is the Greek word gnosis. It's rooted in the original Greek word gnosis, and it means this, to learn, to perceive. So husbands, listen, learn about your wife, perceive your wife, to come to know by experience, specifically your wife. Knowing, it means to come to that place of being under her skin or anticipating her thoughts. I cannot do that without God's help. I don't think any man can. That's the thing that God can do. And it's a very powerful thing. I want to read you this quote from a commentator. The understanding Peter teaches us here includes any knowledge that would be beneficial to the husband-wife relationship. Knowledge of God's purpose and principles for marriage. A husband who loves according to such knowledge will greatly enrich his marriage relationship. Yet such knowledge can only be gained through the regular study of God's word and regular, unhurried times of private fellowship together and intimacy as a husband and a wife. Powerful statement. He goes on, verse 7, to say, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. The word honor here is the word, again, to be high valued in price, greatly cherished. It's repeated to the husband of her great worth and value. The Bible says you want your wife to be a blessing to you, honor her. We have to work at that. It's not that we don't honor our wives. We're often easily distracted, or we think. Again, the two differences. You know, I talked about that car. You would never take that car on a dirt track. Think about your wife being like that car or a Ferrari. Men are like F-150 Ford pickups. Women are like Ferraris. Listen, both are automobiles, but they're different. We're that way. Instead of fighting one another, we need to figure out who each other really is and make it work. And make it work. How do you do that? Listen, I wrote a few things down. Does your wife or does your husband, but in the context, it's husbands. Let's just pick on the husbands. Let's pick on me for a moment. Does she like quiet Saturday mornings? Well, if she does, make it happen. In fact, all the men in here, when I make a statement, say out loud, make it happen. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So does she like quiet Saturday mornings?
Make it happen.
Does she like walking at the beach?
Make it happen.
Oh, here's one. I need to say this one really loud. Does she like ice cream with pretzels in bed? Make it happen. Lisa loves ice cream with pretzels in bed. Have you ever had that? Oh, you've not. Have you ever taken French fries and dipped them in a milkshake? You know what? You don't know nothing. You'd have nothing. You don't know. You say, yeah, I don't like pretzels. I don't like ice cream. I don't like the beach, and I don't like Saturday mornings. We're not asking you, guys. Does she like it? Meg, one guy. Okay, you're not done yet, guys. Does she like the trash to go out before having to ask you? Does she like it when you put the toilet seat down? Does she like just to have you sit and listen to her talk? Kill me dead. That's one of the hardest ones. That's hard. Pray for me. Pray. It's like, I love my wife, but that's hard work. Are you with me? All the men said, we have got to work at that. I like Lisa doing things with me. She wants me to listen to what she has to say. Both are right. Both are correct. And there's a good chance that all of us have a hard time with either one of those things on either side of the fence. What's this called? Marriage. Make it work. Make it happen. God's on your side to bless your marriage and to bless your home. And the bottom line is this, it ends with this crescendo of glory. Verse 7, and as being heirs together, your wife is going to be in heaven. Ooh, listen, your wife is going to be in heaven with you as a joint heir, a co-heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is the subtlety. I wonder if you caught it. He's been speaking to the women about how to love an unsaved man into the kingdom. Then he goes to verse 7, and there's no doubt about it, Peter now is speaking to the saved men of the Christian church in that day. But you can't read it without seeing that he's talking about unsaved men for the first 6 verses, and then gives instruction in verse 7 to men who are saved. This is an amazing double-barrel answer. It addresses both men. The man who was not saved, who gets saved from the faithful woman of verses 1 through 6, and it addresses the man who was saved after he hears verses 1 through 6. He would ask the question, well, what's of me? I'm a Christian. And Peter answers him. Remember this. Your wife's going to be with you in heaven. She's going to be a recipient of the grace of life also. That's an incredible thing because women were not allowed to own anything in those days. And the Bible turns right around 21 centuries ago and says, the wife, the woman, has equal access under the grace of God to everything. Think of that. We're spoiled in our culture. Women's rights, where'd they come from? Right there in the Bible. Prior to Jesus Christ introducing the value of people, the ancient world, women were property. They couldn't own anything, and they had no community value in the world. We don't even know that. We're not even aware of that. Jesus elevates the value of the woman and the wife. And the Bible says, remember, she's going to be co-heirs with you in heaven. And then look at, we end with this. Why? What's the motivation? Wow. He says, so that your prayers are not hindered. What does this mean? It means this. Husband, number one, your prayer life may not be as fantastic as you think it is or you assume it is. Your prayer life, listen up, your prayer life is solely dependent upon the relationship with you and your wife on how you treat her. Who says? God. God is saying, if you're not blessing your wife, if you're not being a blessing to your wife, I'm not going to hear your prayers. That's what the Bible says right here. This is serious business. God says, not going to happen. You cannot mistreat your wife and then come and say, hi, Jesus. He will not listen. He's not listening. Do you mistreat your wife? He's not listening to you. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what you think. God says, I'm not going to listen. If you are to be the representation of Jesus Christ in that home, you're to be the provider, the protector, the priest of that home, and you're mistreating her, who's a picture of the church, remember what God did? He told Moses, you misrepresented me before the people of Israel. They're going to get the wrong idea of who I am because they were looking at you. I told you to just tell the people they can drink water. I'll give them water. But you got all bent out of shape and you went over there and you smacked the rock. You yelled at the people. And you did exactly the opposite of what I wanted to have done. And you misrepresented me. Moses, I love you dearly, but you're not going into the promised land. You're going to go die in the wilderness. And the Bible says that God killed Moses. Did God love Moses? Yep. Did Moses misrepresent God? Yep. Listen, husbands, your walk is tethered, inseparably tethered, to your relationship with your wife. And God doesn't want to hear from you anymore until you get it right with your wife. And by the way, of course, I'm sure it goes both ways.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio. with his message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 4. We're glad you took the time to be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others really does still inspire us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Something amazing has been going on as part of this ministry, and that is our Happening Now series. I mean, you look at that series online, and there's been millions of views.
Yeah.
Jump into that for me, would you?
Yeah, it was actually started, I saw all of the rhetoric going on some time ago, some years ago, where, if you remember, most recently, Jesus would be back on this date.
Yeah.
And this is what's going on regarding Bible prophecy and the other thing. So there's a lot of people panicking. The end of the world is, you know, on such and such a date. The Mayan calendar says so. All of this kind of stuff. So what the Lord put upon my heart to do was to debunk all that stuff and to bring truth, biblical worldview truth, into the momentary dynamic of life. So it has kept true to that vision. But it has been expanding. God has seen fit to expand it. So we've had many, many Happening Now guests, from Ben Shapiro to Dennis Prager to so many others, including Amir Serfate and Don Stewart and biblical scholars. It's been amazing. But it has also allowed us to have a good friend of ours, personal good friend of mine for years, and that is the wonderful young man, Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
So Charlie Kirk, he's probably been with us more Happening Nows than anybody else, but Charlie Kirk is going to be coming back to be with us in March 26th. It's a Wednesday night. 90 minutes of live, unscripted dialogue in the main sanctuary here at the church that I pastor in Southern California. And there's nothing like it. You've got to experience it. Yes, it'll be broadcast on the Real Life Network.
Right.
By the way, everybody should get that app. Just by going to the App Store, download it. It's free. And you'll be able to have the Real Life Network with you 24/7, 365. And on that network, it will be broadcast live. And we'll also be streaming from the church, but it's going to be epic. And, you know, right now, by the way, ever since about 2 weeks before the election, Charlie has been side by side with Trump, and he's been there in Mar-a-Lago, had to move into Mar-a-Lago for a good while, and now up into D.C. There's so much happening. So Charlie's a good friend. We've done a lot of great stuff together. Of course, he's the founder and president of Turning Point USA. I think what's going to shock a lot of people, we're going to look at the book of Chronicles, specifically the man of Josiah, Josiah's life, and how Josiah's life parallels the moments that we're living right now in America. Mm. Is it possible that God is doing something in the United States, quite shockingly, even in the realm of what we would call politics? God put a non-politician back into the realm of politics yet for a second time.
Yeah.
Quite amazing.
I pay attention to Charlie Kirk on online, and some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth. How does a person put that much into his brain?
Well, first of all, Charlie will not be offended if I say this. He's a freak.
Yeah, gotta be.
Charlie is too smart. His brain. I'm convinced that there's a cloud of his own that follows him somewhere where the downloads happen. Charlie's so quick, so fast, and never more entertaining and thrilling than to watch Charlie Kirk on any university campus here throughout the U.S., where Charlie will set up a table and a microphone, and he'll encourage people to come and debate him. And Charlie he always defeats them with part of his brain tied behind his back. He'll still win.
And he doesn't demean the people that he's
wonderful.
Talking to.
No, he's wonderful. He's spirit-filled.
You know?
And Charlie loves the Lord. I'm telling you right now, him and Erica, Christian home, Christian life, spirit-filled family, loving the Lord.
I'm jealous of him, though. The fact that he was in the jump seat on Air Force One, are you kidding me?
Charlie probably gets to go places that we're not allowed to talk about.
So it's kind of, at this point, it's kind of good luck getting a seat if you come to the sanctuary for a Happening Now event.
I got to be honest with you guys. If you come, you're going to find this out anyway. On a Happening Now night, People start showing up, standing in line at about 2 o'clock in the
afternoon. Remember when there were 20 people in line for these? I mean, it wasn't that small, but...
No, I don't ever remember that. It's never been... We have never...
I'm being facetious.
Davey meant to say...
I remember you talking about this idea of happening now, and it's amazing to see how it's grown over the past few years.
Yeah, it's funny you say grow. I mean, it's every... From the very first one, there's been standing room only, and now it's gone into the overflow of the courtyards and various external sanctuaries here on campus. I mean, it's a full house. It's not uncommon for us to have 5,000 people here at a Happening Now.
That's Happening Now with special guest Charlie Kirk, Wednesday night, March 26th, 7 p.m. That's Pacific time. If you can't come in person, join us online. For more info, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.